Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the council meeting of Monday 23rd of September, beginning at 5:30. Council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it is council policy to record council meetings in accordance with council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant Council officer. Item 1.0 is apologies. Councillor Hollister is currently on leave. Item 2.0, declarations of interest. Do I have any declarations of interest in any item on this agenda?
Yes, you do, ma'am.
Councillor Murphy.
Item 3.2.1, 3.2.2 and item 5.1.
Thank you. Any other declarations of interest? Thank you. At this point, I have had a request from the General Manager to... I need the minutes first. Item 3.1, a confirmation of the minutes of the 26th of August. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Milbourne. Do I have a seconder?
You do, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock. Any comments, Councillor Milbourne?
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock?
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Milbourne to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Now, as I was saying, the General Manager has... I'm still one ahead of myself. I'll get there in a minute. Council 3.1.2, the special general meeting, the special council meeting that we had on the 9th of September. We need to move those minutes, please. Can I have a mover? Councillor Jarman.
Second.
Councillor Innes, Councillor Jarman. Anything to add?
Nothing further. Can't wait to be able to put that out to the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Innes?
Nothing further.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, I have given the General Manager permission to make a statement at his request, so he has the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to provide a statement to Council. My statement is made in accordance with Regulation 38 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015 and will address the recent Auditor General's report, the investigation by the Director of Local Government relating to a complaint made against me, and finally, recent media reporting culminating in the call by Councillor Murphy on ABC Radio and in the Advocate newspaper for my resignation and the resignation of the Deputy General Manager. The Auditor General released his report to Parliament on Tuesday, the 19th of September, which examined the procurement processes related to three councils, Glenorchy City, Dorset and Devonport City. In Devonport City's case, it was in relation to matters related to the Living City project. At the next council meeting on the 28th of October, a report will be provided to council to allow it to formally consider the Auditor General's report and the associated recommendations. It is my expectation council will commit to implementing all recommendations. However, ultimately, that is a decision for the council in due course. In addition to the Devonport-specific recommendations, there are also those which the Auditor-General has referred to the State Government for consideration as part of its review of the Local Government Act. The report points out Living City is one of the largest urban renewal projects undertaken in regional Tasmania. It also outlines that Stage 1 of the project had a budget of $71.1 million and was a collaboration between the Council, the State and the Federal Governments. The timeline for Living City is also outlined in the report, noting that it commenced in December 2012 when Council adopted the Central Business District Investment and Development Strategy. In June 2013, Council appointed the Sydney consulting firm P plus I Group on a 12-month contract to collaborate on the development of the concept plan. In my role as General Manager, I received formal notification from the Auditor General on the 16th of March 2018 that following numerous complaints made to his office, he had determined to conduct a thorough and comprehensive review and examination of the Living City project pursuant to Section 23 of the Audit Act 2008. Over the next 18 months, myself and Council officers have responded to all requests for information to assist the Auditor General's inquiry. All aspects of the project have been thoroughly examined, with significant information having been requested and provided. In relation to procurement, Sections 333A and 333B of the Local Government Act 1993 outlines Council's statutory requirements. The Auditor General considered five specific issues relating to Living City and has provided detailed findings on each. The first one: did the engagement of contractors and consultants comply with DCC procurement policies and the Local Government Act? The report states that 14 instances where procurement would exceed the tender threshold under the Act were identified. Of these 14 instances, it was clear that Council on 12 occasions complied with its code, the Local Government Act and the local government regulations. In relation to the remaining two procurements, the Auditor General found that Council had applied the exemption provisions allowed for under the Act. Both these procurements related to contracts with P plus I Group. The first in June 2013, when the Council unanimously determined that extenuating circumstances applied due to the difficulty in defining the actual project scope. The second part, being the PDMA, Project Development and Management Agreement, the Auditor General's report notes, in appointing P plus I, senior management at a meeting on the 25th of August 2014 provided a report to Council on the proposed contract and a recommendation not to seek tenders based on extenuating circumstances. The Auditor General's report states, in examining evidence relating to the appointment of P plus I, the process followed by DCC in applying the exemptions met the procedure requirements of the Local Government Act and the local government regulations. DCC documented the reasons for adopting the exemptions for each contract with P plus I. Detailed reports from management were provided to the Council on the matter. Council unanimously approved each recommendation. In relation to item one, the Auditor General provided two recommendations, and both relating to strengthening the provisions of the Local Government Act relating to the use of the extenuating circumstances provisions. Both are for the consideration of the State Government as part of its review of the Local Government Act. Item two, did DCC take steps to assess the commerciality of the PDMA? The Auditor General concluded that DCC had taken reasonable steps to assess the commerciality of amounts payable under the PDMA and obligations of both parties under the agreement, although the documentation of the assessment of the reasonableness of the amounts payable under the contract could have been improved. The report also states, based on the evidence presented, DCC took reasonable steps to assess and document the basis or justification for subsequent amendment to the PDMA. The report also states, in reviewing all payments made to P plus I, we found that they were made in accordance with the PDMA. A single recommendation for this section is that in future, Council should document its assessment of the reasonableness of amounts payable under a contract. The third item reviewed, did DCC follow sound commercial and governance processes in entering into the Providore Place head lease? The Auditor General found that the legislative requirements on councils relating to leasing are limited to ensuring that the lease is supported by an independent valuation. The Auditor General concluded that the head lease was primarily drafted by P plus I and appeared to be missing a number of standard lease clauses. Adverse findings are outlined in the report relating to the Providore Place head lease, including the head lease, primarily drafted by P plus I, appeared to be missing a number of standard lease clauses. DCC did not obtain independent legal advice on the lease agreement prior to it being signed. The relationship between DCC and P plus I in entering into the head lease arrangement, although acknowledged, was not adequately managed. DCC had not met good governance principles relating to transparency, equity, participation and inclusion, and effective and efficient decision making. There are four recommendations relating to this issue, including the state government should consider reviewing the Local Government Act and the Local Government Regulations to strengthen requirements relating to the lease of properties as part of the legislation review currently underway. Council update its policies providing to guidance relating to property lease transactions. Council amend its policies to clarify when independent legal advice should be attained in connection with property leases. And Council review its measures to mitigate risks arising from contracts entered into where potential conflicts of interest arise. As General Manager at the time when the lease was entered into, I readily accept my share of accountability for the identified deficiencies. I could spend time justifying why at the time the decision was made not to obtain legal advice on the head lease agreement. However, this would not change the outcome, and furthermore, it would likely only be described as spin and or arse covering. The fourth item looked at, did DCC follow appropriate commercial governance and processes for the sale of land for Stage 2 hotel development? The Auditor General's report notes, after reviewing information related to the hotel development, we were satisfied that there were no further financial implications for DCC arising from the hotel development. The hotel development project and financial risk rests with Fairbrother. In other words, nothing to find here. The fifth item, did DCC adhere to its budget for Stage 1 of the Living City project? The Auditor General's report notes, our reviewer also noted DCC and its project manager, P plus I, adequately documented, monitored and reported the progress of the project against budget. Monthly detailed progress reports were provided to DCC on actual and budget costs. At 30 June 2019, the actual cost of the project, $70.1 million, was $1 million below the revised budget amount of $71.1 million. Once again, in other words, nothing to find here. As already indicated, I acknowledge and accept my share of accountability for the Providore Place lease flaws, as outlined in the Auditor General's report. At the same time, I believe it is important to also acknowledge the Auditor General, in releasing his report to Parliament, was quoted as saying, other than issues raised with the lease agreement, the Council has performed effectively in all other aspects of the audit. Separate to the review undertaken by the Auditor General, I was advised on the 17th of April 2019 that a complaint had been lodged with the Director of Local Government in relation to me, alleging I had breached Section 65 of the Local Government Act 1993 in that presenting a report to Council on the 24th of October 2016, I, as the General Manager, failed to provide Council with appropriate qualified advice. The complainant alleged that by failing to obtain legal advice in relation to the head lease agreement, I failed to comply with the Act. The complaint also alleged that the statement that the lease was made in accordance with the standard lease template developed with legal advice could amount to a false or misleading statement in breach of Section 345 of the Act. In the Advocate newspaper on Saturday the 31st of August, Councillor Murphy made similar allegations relating to the Local Government Act being breached. The Director of Local Government on the 2nd of September advised me that his investigation was complete and that he had determined to dismiss the complaint. In making his determination, the Director noted, I consider that it cannot be sustained that the advice provided to Council in the report was not provided by persons with the qualifications or experience necessary to give that advice. The Act provides no particular definition of what qualifications or experience means, and therefore there is a subjective element to determining whether such advice has been provided and a reliance of the ordinary dictionary meaning of these words. The Director went on to say, I cannot find that you, as General Manager, must have sought and provided external advice, and nor can I find that it was not open to you in your judgment to certify that the officers giving the advice were qualified or experienced to give it. The Director noted that the report provided to Council highlighted there were significant risks. The Director also stated, having reviewed the report, I am satisfied that there was sufficient highlighting of the risks that Council could just have easily made a different decision than the one they unanimously made based on the information provided to them. While I readily accept accountability for mistakes, I hope that my 6 years with Council will also be remembered for a number of positive impacts as well, including significant operational budget control measures, 4 consecutive years of zero rate, general rate increases, introduction of budget consultation and budget and rating information sessions which are actually done before the budget is presented for council for adoption. Reduction in the full-time equivalent staff numbers from 178 in 2013 when I arrived to 150 this year with no detrimental impact on service delivery. Improved reporting arrangements, including the implementation of the Section 23 committee structure, the removal of the old maternity hospital eyesore, the sale of non-core assets being, an example being Fenton Villas, and they're just to name a few. Finally, turning to Councillor Murphy's call for my resignation. For the record, can I say, I had made the decision to leave council in April this year, but due to the two investigations which were underway, I determined that I would do the professional thing and defer leaving until the matters were completed and the outcomes determined. Before Councillor Murphy publicly called for my resignation on ABC Radio on Friday morning and followed it up in Saturday's Advocate, it had been my intention to hand my resignation to the Mayor today on the basis that both investigations had now been completed and it was the right time for me to move on, allowing the Council to recruit a new General Manager who could assist in taking the organisation forward. I am grateful to have had the opportunity to work with Council for nearly 6 years, a role I have always undertaken diligently and with the best interests of Council and the Devonport community in mind. When I applied for the role, it was very clear to me that then Council wanted a General Manager who would not only support but actively work with Council on implementing its Living City vision. The subsequent Council elected in 2014 had a similar desire to move Devonport forward in a like-minded way. A lot has been achieved in this time and I sincerely believe that those involved in Living City will in the future be applauded for not only their foresight but also for their determination in seeing it delivered. But ultimately, only the test of time will tell. Unfortunately, it has been obvious since the new council was elected in late 2018, there are some councillors who want to move in a somewhat different direction. Rather than do that in a constructive and professional manner, it appears they would rather create as much disruption and angst as they can. You only have to look at the way the no confidence motion in the Mayor and the Acting General Manager was presented at the last council meeting for evidence of this. The close working relationship which previously existed between the elected council and the senior staff, in my view, is seriously fractured. For any council to be successful, there is a need for the elected and the appointed to work together as a collegiate team. There also needs to be a level of trust and respect, and recent events, many of which occurred during my recent leave, indicate to me that both have been irreparably compromised. I came back from my leave early as I believed as the General Manager I had a responsibility for the work, health and safety of all council staff, and recent actions by some councillors, in my opinion, seriously jeopardises the wellbeing of staff. Following the council election in late 2018, a comprehensive induction program was provided which covered roles and responsibilities including bullying is a safety matter and that workplace bullying is a risk to the work, health and safety because it may affect the mental and physical health of individuals. I've recently been reminded on several occasions of my responsibilities under the Local Government Act 1993. To this end, I point out that Section 63.2 relates to employees, and it states that the General Manager is to develop human resource practices and policies, practices and procedures in accordance with policies of the Council to ensure employees of the Council receive fair and equitable treatment without discrimination. Council's own harassment, bullying and anti-discrimination policy, last updated and adopted by Council as recently as the 22nd of July, states Council is committed to ensuring it provides and maintains a safe and positive workplace free from unlawful discrimination, harassment and bullying. In committing to this policy, Council aims to create a working environment which is free from discrimination, harassment and bullying, and where all workers and councillors are treated with dignity, courtesy and respect. Furthermore, other parts of the Council's policy which I believe are relevant, defamation occurs when a person or a group of people intentionally damages a person's reputation by stating or writing derogatory or negative things about them which are untrue or baseless. Harassment is also said to occur if the environment in which the person is working is hostile or intimidating. And intimidatory harassment occurs when there is deliberate and intentional use of operational power to coerce a person to perform a particular task, subjecting them to feelings of humiliation and intimidation. The roles and responsibilities of the councillors under that policy is to ensure that discrimination does not arise from decisions with respect to their practices, and policies will adhere to policy. the relevant code of conduct and any relevant legislation. The model code of conduct is also relevant. At part 7, it says a relationship with community councillors and council employees. A councillor A must treat all persons fairly, and B must not cause any reasonable person offence or embarrassment, and must not bully or harass any person. In relation to relationship with community councillors and council employees, a councillor is to be respected in his, is to be respectful, sorry, in his or her conduct, communication and relationships with members of the community, fellow councillors and council employees in a way that builds trust and confidence in the council. The Local Government Act 1993 at section 28 outlines the role and the functions of a councillor. In performing any function under this Act or any other Act, a councillor must not direct or attempt to direct an employee of the council in relation to the discharge of the employee's duties, or perform any function of the Mayor without the approval of the Mayor. And part 4, a councillor is to represent accurately the policies and decisions of the council in performing the functions of councillor. It has been an absolute pleasure to work with you, Mayor, firstly as an Alderman, then as Deputy Mayor, and more recently as Mayor. You certainly do not deserve the treatment you have been subjected to, both from within and from outside of council. Councillors are reminded that the Code of Conduct states, a councillor must not contact an employee of the council in relation to council matters unless authorised by the General Manager of the council. As indicated, I have a responsibility for the health and wellbeing of all council staff. From tonight onwards, all contact by councillors with any staff member is to be via the General Manager's office. The General Manager can then determine if and when it is appropriate for a staff member to speak directly to a councillor on any matter. Public question time. My suggestion, Mayor, is that all questions in relation to any aspect of living city should in the future be taken on notice. Other questions on operational matters can still be answered if possible, or alternatively, if necessary, taken on notice. Any future requests from the public for information relating to Provident or Place matters, apart from what is determined to be released by council, in my opinion, should be requested through the statutory right to information process. In closing and to answer, the Advocate headline attributed to Deputy Mayor Jarman on page 3 on Tuesday the 3rd of September, titled Message Sent, my response, the message has been answered. When asked by Libby Bingham for a comment to Councillor Murphy's call for my resignation, what I did say was, if or when I decide to resign, it will be at a time of my choosing, unless the council makes a decision to end my contract. For the record, I will not be resigning. I refuse to be bullied or intimidated into it. Having said that, though, unfortunately, I have come to the conclusion my position at Devonport has been irreparably damaged and I have been professionally maligned. I'm engaging legal counsel to represent my interests in relation to my employment with council and my personal and professional reputation. Mayor, having said all of that, I don't believe it is appropriate for me to continue attendance at tonight's meeting, and so I'll be leaving the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to have a 5-minute recess with my councillors, and we will reconvene at 6. Thank you. Right, I'll call the meeting reconvened at 6. Thank you. We've come to item 3.2, public question time, and 3.2.1 is responses to questions raised at prior meetings. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Happy to second that, ma'am.
Missed. Councillor Perry, Councillor Laycock. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just appropriate answers to those questions. That's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.2, questions on notice from the public. Do I have a mover? he's in this one too. Yeah. 3.2.2. Yeah. Thank you. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Thank you. Councillor Perry. Do I have a second, please?
Second.
Councillor Ennis, thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Some comprehensive questions comprehensively answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman.
Can I just ask a question through you, Madam Chair, through to the Deputy General Manager for tonight? Page 12 there, Matthew, question 4 from Malcolm Gardam. In relation to what it's saying, it's saying the Living City project is not undertaken as it's not been requested by councillors. Can you just explain to me if there's something that we want to request in that way? Does it have to be a notice of motion, and does it have to be unanimous?
Yes, through you, Mayor. No, it certainly wouldn't need to be unanimous. That's it's probably a discussion that council could have at a workshop, how they'd like the reporting done.
That'd be great. Thank you very much. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.3 is questions without notice from the public. I will make it clear that I won't be accepting any questions around the General Manager's statement that he made before he left the meeting, and remind you that everyone has 3 minutes to questions, and that they are to be couched as a question, and with due respect to the meeting and everyone here. Thank you. Are there any questions from the gallery?
We're live? Okay. Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mindatta. Question 1. At the Governance, Finance and Community Committee meeting held 16th of September, the General Manager stated, and I quote from the audio recording, not the minutes, in response to Bob Vellacott's new head lease question, he stated, I don't have knowledge of exactly what is in the lease at this stage, having only just returned to work, so perhaps I think for the benefit of the meeting, it's best to take this on notice and I'll provide a written response. As the General Manager has stated, no knowledge of what is in the new lease agreement, will the Mayor advise specifically which councillors and specifically which senior staff negotiated the new lease agreement with Providore Place Devonport Proprietor Limited?
I will take that on notice. However, the agreement was a unanimous decision of council. Thank you.
My question was, who negotiated the lease in the absence of the General Manager?
Myself and Councillor Perry. Thank you.
You're the two that...
Thank you.
Thank you. That wasn't that hard, I don't think. Question 2. It was reported in The Advocate on the 13th of September that Council had entered a new lease arrangement with Providore Place Devonport to manage the Providore Place food pavilion, with the initial agreement actually being disclosed as a partnering arrangement. This revelation came despite Council stating for nearly 3 years that it was a risk-transferring head lease agreement to attract, retain and manage tenants, while refusing to disclose any specific details on the basis of firstly confidentiality, then more recently closed session discussion. Council has now opted or felt obliged to enter another lease agreement with the same entity, despite no public expressions of interest being advertised, similar to the first agreement, reliance again on a head lease company that apparently acknowledged no experience in managing a food pavilion not long after the initial agreement was signed, rent not being paid for far too long, resulting in the loss of hundreds of thousands of dollars, notwithstanding tenancies operating and other activities being undertaken as confirmed in council reports and newspaper articles. The new lease effectively reduces the head leasee's initial 10-year term and financial exposure to council from $2.8 million to $230,000 for a 2-year term, more than likely paid monthly in advance. So much for achieving the earlier council promoting long-term guaranteed rent revenue. My question is, with all the previous assurances and representations made by council to the community and the now irrefutable fact that the initial lease arrangements were fatally flawed, and noting the Auditor General's severe criticism of council's governance of the initial lease agreement after conducting a review within the limited scope of the Auditor General's role, will all councillors, and not just a few, take their responsibility to the people of Devonport seriously and insist on a full external investigation, including rent write-off and the new lease?
Thank you, Mr Gardam. I'll take that on notice.
Thank you. Third question.
Are there any other questions from the gallery?
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Bob Vellacott, and I'm a financial ratepayer and Council's official branded difficult customer. I live at 11 Cocker Place, Devonport.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Mayor and councillors, Providore Place, Devonport, Providore Place, Devonport Proprietary Limited Head Lease Agreement. This has never been referred to publicly as a non-traditional cooperative shared arrangement. I just wonder what that is, and I believe a lot of other people haven't got a clue. This head lease agreement has turned out to be an unmitigated disaster, resulting in significant loss of revenue to council and ratepayers. Council has advised, one, the head lease was not prepared by council lawyers. Two, council did not receive any advice about the content of the head lease, I believe. Three, the head lease has now been demonstrated as being grossly defective because council has written off hundreds of thousands of dollars of rent revenue. My question, who will be held accountable and will they be required to pay for the loss instead of the ratepayers?
Councillors will be held responsible, as is always the case.
The ratepayers? Sorry, who?
We will be held responsible.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I'll reserve the right for another question. Thank you.
All right. Graham Nevin, 145 Percy Street, Devonport. My first question, Mayor, is this. Given what has transpired with the Providore Place head lease, the big loss resulting, and the Auditor General's severe criticism of Council's governance, many people in Devonport want to know whether our councillors and senior management have acted in good faith and in the best interests of the community regarding Providore Place and in particular the head lease. My question is, Mayor, will this council release copies of all the reports and advice councillors received regarding the Providore Place head lease so that Devonport residents can assess for themselves whether council and senior management did in fact act in good faith and in the best interest of the community regarding the Providore Place head lease?
I'll take that on notice. Thank you, Thank you. Nevin.
My second question, Mayor, and I'll be as brief as I can. Councillors, if you believe that you have acted in good faith and in the best interest of the community, then you have nothing to fear by moving a motion and voting to make full disclosure regarding all that has happened with Providore Place. This is entirely consistent with an important characteristic of good governance, namely transparency, which is sorely lacking in the Council's handling of the Providore Place head lease, and it's been roundly criticised by the Auditor General as being absent from this Council's decisions. Transparency in governance means people should be able to follow and understand your decision-making process. In summary, the people of Devonport should be able to clearly see how and why a decision was made, what information and advice the council considered. But we don't see any of this. My question is, given the assurances, the representations made by council spokespersons and senior management since 2016 regarding the Providore Place head lease, which have turned out to be incorrect or exaggerated, why should the people of Devonport blindly accept councillors' assertions now that they have acted in the best interest of the community without being able to check the information? Thank you, Mayor.
I will take that on notice, Mr. Nevin. Thank you.
Good evening, councillors. Jenny Clare, 57 Gunn Street, Devonport. Recently, we've learnt that the Providore Place rent has been waived and reduced, and also with the publishing of the Auditor General's report, we learn that the Living City project has been mismanaged and derailed by poor governance
Ms.
from
Clare,
our council.
You need to be very careful about what you're saying.
This has left us, this part I think is fairly safe. This has left us in a dire financial situation. We have the biggest debt of any council in Tasmania, and little revenue is coming in to cover that debt. Instead, it is ratepayers who are footing the bill. What should our council do in this situation? Call a halt to the progress of the Living City project and consider what is happening, or forge ahead regardless? It is tonight that we will get the answer to this question when our councillors vote on the park tender. For those of us who don't like the park plan and the walkway, a vote to continue with this park will be devastating. But even many of those who like the park are concerned about the cost. To justify the cost, we need to be sure of outcomes. We need to be sure that spending money we can ill afford to obtain a grant to make a nice park into a different park actually will provide substantial benefit to Devonport. We need to know that this park will deliver benefits to our city commensurate with the cost. What hard evidence do we have that this park will help make Devonport into a vibrant city or a tourist destination? In trying to gather our confidence about embarking on this huge expense, we might look at the progress of Living City so far and see whether various other aspects of the project have lived up to expectations. What we find is not encouraging. We're about to have a school where the retail precinct was to be. We have a bus depot where there was to be a 7 days a week food market. And we have a Paranapple Centre which cites the numbers of people entering the building as its claim to fame on its first birthday. And, as mentioned before, we have Providore Place failing to provide the forecast revenue. But it is not too late to alter course. Only a few trees have been removed from Roundhouse Park. The severe reputational damage to council and some of the severe damage to the prosperity of Devonport caused by excessive spending can still be averted. Decisions made tonight are decisions that this council, not the previous council, not the staff, but this council, right here tonight in September 2019, will be responsible for and remembered for. So my first question tonight is, what hard evidence do we have that building this park for over $17 million will provide benefits to Devonport commensurate with the cost?
As this item is on the agenda, I can't really add anything more to that at this point. Ms. Clare, and your 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes is up. Thank you. Thank you. Do I have any other questions from the gallery?
I foreshadow a third question, a second question.
Keys Coast, 20 Coomera Crescent. Just a small question, Madam Mayor. Would you please tell me who will be responsible to make up the reported $500,000 loss, as reported in the Advocate on the 13th of September, due to unpaid rent by Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited?
Thank you. I will take that on notice, as I have already indicated any questions around Providore Place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other Are there any other questions? No? We'll move on. Thank you.
The council and its appointed development manager have been making representations as reported to the community and state government about Living City since 2013, including in 2013 the development manager had spoken to 15 national retailers and 13 were keen to come to Devonport, and negotiations must remain confidential, but it is expected that key announcements can take place in 2014. As the passage of time has demonstrated, there's never been any firm commitment. In 2015, we were told we've been out in the market on the four restaurant sites in the food pavilion, and we've got strong interest coming from local operators as well as from other parts of Tasmania and from the mainland. And if we're going to bring change to Devonport, there's no point in putting in average operators. We've got to bring a new standard in. In 2016, the Deputy General Manager was reported to saying, we've got a 10-year lease with Providore Place to run it. We're getting a good return above the independently assessed market value. And the revenue the council received on the food pavilion was guaranteed through the head lease arrangement and removed the council exposure to risk. Well, in 2016, stage one was not a council-funded project, and without relying on income from council's existing revenue streams. In 2016, former Mayor Steve Martin was still representing, we have serious interest from national retailers who have identified Devonport as the regional centre to set up, Big W and Target. And I have personally met with national retailers and have viewed their data that supports coming to Devonport. Stage one is the catalyst for providing the footprint needed to secure such a national retailer. When challenged in 2017, he had to admit the meeting was in May 2012.
Mr. Gardam, as the third question, you have 2 minutes and your 2 minutes is up. Do you have a question?
It's not, madam.
Do you?
Chair?
I'm the chair, Mr. Gardam. Your 2 minutes is up. Do you have a question?
Let me, there's two other items here, Madam Chair, you've quoted as well.
That's fine, but your 2 minutes is up. Thank you.
My question, Madam Chair, and the others will react even better, some of the statements we've had made, like it, probably, to be honest, it was optimistic, the rent over in Providore Place. Mm. My question is, Madam Chair, based on what I consider to be reckless, if not false representations, my question to all councillors is, why should the people of Devonport believe anything this council and its senior staff tell us about Living City? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Clare?
This is a question that followed from the previous preamble. The second question, which I ask of you, Madam Mayor, and through you to all our councillors, is this. Will you or any one of our councillors make time for a review of the Living City project by moving a motion tonight to apply for an extension of time for the federal grant for the park and defer accepting a tender for the waterfront park? In other words, please don't do it tonight. Let's have more time to try and find out what is the direction of Living City. And my third question. During this morning's radio interview with Leon Compton, played for our mayor the tape from last week where Councillor Murphy states that in excess of $300,000 has been written off the Providore Place rent and that no rent has been paid since the 1st of November 2017. The mayor responded by saying, that's not true. However, later in the interview, the mayor states that in September last year, council made a decision to waive the rent till the 1st of February 2019. As the forecast rent was $400,000 per year, and the time in question is more than a year, this would suggest that the amount of rent that was waived was even more than Councillor Murphy stated. Also on the program, the question was raised as to what will happen to the rent owing from the 1st of February 2019, which our mayor said was $179,000. Our Mayor stated that no decision has been made about this rent amount and the plan is to wait for 3 to 5 months into the new rental agreement, which is towards the end of this calendar year, to make a decision. So my question is, Mayor, leaving out the $179,000, which is still in question, can you tell us the exact amount of Provador Place rent that has been waived so far?
I will take that and answer in writing, as I have agreed to do with other questions around Provador Place. Thank you.
In deciding to wait for 3 to 5 months into the new...
Thank you, Ms. Clare. We've finished that. Your time is up. Mr. Vellacott? Mr. Vellacott, did you have a third question? Thank you.
My simple question, Mayor, is did the current announcements by Council in relation to the new Provador Place head lease agreement and writing off of the unpaid rent payments form part of the Auditor General's report? I just make that clear. Has the Auditor General looked at the new lease yet?
That was part of his review. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, I can clarify the scope of the Auditor General included keeping an eye on what the decisions Council was making, and up until, I think if you look in the report, he notes the date at which his investigation finished. So up until that time, he certainly investigated the decisions Council were making around Provador Place.
The new lease, so that's just in simple terms. The Auditor General
was aware of the discussions that were happening. Thank you, Mr. Vellacott. Yes.
I'm only clarifying it, and I think under your standing orders of questions, that a question can be clarified. I wasn't debating it. I'm just clarifying. Thank you very much. I take it as a bit of a bully on myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, item 3.3, questions on notice. At the time, we have no questions on notice from councillors. Item 4.0, planning authority matters. Again, there is nothing before us as acting as a planning authority. Item 5.0, reports. 5.1 is the tender report. Tender report CB0082, Waterfront Park construction. We have a recommendation on page 31. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Milbourn. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock, thank you. Councillor Milbourn.
So next step in the waterfront project phase. It's great that we have worked with VOS to be able to come in under our budget, and I look forward to seeing it progress. Thank you.
If there are conversations to be had in the gallery, I would ask you to leave the room to have them, please. Thank you. The seconder of the motion, Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I totally agree with Councillor Milbourn, and I would like to congratulate the General Manager and his executive team, in particular Mr. Atkins, for the work they've done with VOS Construction to pull this back. I think they've done a top job. It is the next stage in our living city, and it needs to go ahead, and I honestly believe that this will be virtually the crowning glory for the whole part of the hotel, the Paranapple Centre and Provador Place. It'll pull everything together. So I'm more than happy to second that motion, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Councillor Perry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I support the previous two speakers. This is the culmination of quite a long process, an exhaustive process, in fact, of a lot of consultation with the public. We've had two or three changes to the plan. We've also had a change to the plan after the first lot of numbers come in, and we're able to save $2.9 million. We are very mindful of coming in under budget or on budget, as was evidenced by stage one of Living City, where we went under budget by $1 million, but that fails to get any respect. I think this is just the next step. We've come this far. As I said, we've consulted widely. We've done all we need to do to be content that we've arrived at a good product. I will say, though, just on the option to use precast, well, the initial option was to use precast concrete planks, but that was a $220,000 cost, not overrun, but it cost $220,000 more to do that than timber decking. I think we should reconsider that for the long-term benefit of the walkway. The $220,000 we may save now may, at some point in the future, become problematic when it comes to maintenance, repairs and maintenance of timber planking. We do have a $368,000 contingency budget, a low-risk contingency budget, I might add, so I think not necessarily to change the recommendation, but I think we need to consider that going forward internally. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. Look, I suppose I want to say congratulations to everybody. To have this plan, the first draft that we had, obviously wasn't exactly what the general public wanted. We certainly got the word out and allowed a lot more involvement from the public, and I really appreciate everybody that put in their 2 cents worth about this. I think we've come up with a better plan. It's probably not exactly what I'd like, but that's okay. At the end of the day, it's not always what everybody likes. It's a compromise of a good plan, and it will go ahead, I have no doubt. My only question, and I agree what Councillor Perry has also brought up, we certainly need to look at longevity. I love timber and I love the fact that it's a natural item, but it's certainly not going to last. And, you know, 20 years down the track, the next council, whoever's then will be there, will be criticised for the fact that we didn't think about longevity in the beginning. So it's certainly something we need to consider. So thank you for bringing that up. My only other question through you, Madam Chair, to the Deputy General Manager tonight is the elevated walkway. Just could we have some clarity, I suppose, on we haven't had the hotel 100% agreed that it's starting. I'm sure it will, I have no doubt. However, if the hotel doesn't go ahead, would we not be building the walkway, is my question to you.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I guess as noted in the report, the most recent update from Fairbrother indicates that there's no change to their status and they anticipate starting the hotel in November. However, should something change between now and then, as you're aware that the council has a clause within that contract with Fairbrother that would allow council to purchase the land back at a reduced price and then to pursue other developers for the site. So I think, the site's designed in a way so that block can be developed. Every indication is that Fairbrother will do that. However, there's some provision in the contract that allows us to seek other developers if that is necessary.
So would we put a hold on the walkway if so, if that was the worst case scenario?
Yeah, I guess council could make that decision if there was an issue came up with Fairbrother and they didn't proceed as planned.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Nothing further.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne to close.
Thank you, everyone, for your comments and considerations, and thanks to Councillor Perry for discussing the products that will be used, and hopefully along the way the builders may find extra savings so we can get something that might last a little bit longer there as well. I'd just like to also note that a couple of weeks ago I was at a presentation with Year 7, 8 students on Living City, and just to remind the gallery that this is for our future and for them. For that group of students, I think one had heard about Living City and no others. After that discussion, 100% of those students were very happy to continue living in Devonport after further studies. Very excited to come back to Devonport, and I think sometimes we need to remember that it's not just the ratepayers we are serving, it's the future of this city too. So Thank you very much, and consider it closed.
Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.2, tender report for the contract CTO252, Berrigan Road and Lyons Avenue Roadworks. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
I moved.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Murphy. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Look, it's all in the report. It's quite a substantial project, this one, taking in three separate construction sections, if you like, but all in order from a budgetary standpoint, and we push on and get it done. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy?
I support the previous speaker. Definitely going to be of benefit in that location.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.3 is the tender report for CF0026, supply and deliver of a side loader garbage truck. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Milbourne, do I have a seconder?
You do, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock. Councillor Milbourne.
I would love to go for the electric vehicle. However, unfortunately, the technology just isn't there yet. So I have nothing further to add, but thanks for the due diligence in providing all the information. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Yes, totally agree with the move of the motion. And it's to be determined that the existing truck's going to be retained in the council fleets. I think that's a pretty smart move at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Milbourne to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.4 is the dog management policy final recommendation for implementation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Jarman?
Yes, I moved.
A seconder, please.
Seconded.
Councillor Murphy, thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Oh, it's all there. It all makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Yes, as the mover of the motion stated, it's there. We workshopped it relatively intensively, so well done.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.5, financial assistance scheme for round one. We have recommendations for from the committee on page 66. Thank you. Do I have a mover of that recommendation?
So please? Moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Do I have a seconder?
Second that.
Councillor Alexio, thank you. Councillor Perry.
Yeah, this is round one of our community financial assistance packages, and I've got every confidence in the working group that came to those decisions. And there's some good results in there, and we continue to support worthwhile groups in the community. So well done to the group and well done to council. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Alexio.
Yeah, great work there. Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.6 is the digital recording policy. We have the recommendation on page 70. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Jarman.
Seconded.
Seconder. Councillor Murphy. Councillor Jarman.
Yeah, look, obviously this is something that we've requested, and I really appreciate the fact that we can do this. That will certainly help going along further along. If it's ever needed, it's there. And I understand the confidentiality requests, and that all makes sense. Just one question. Will we now be announcing when we go into closed session, though, that we are recording that
we
policy
won't.
Like we do at the beginning of the first? Or is it because it's...
I don't think we need to, because it's there isn't a gallery to be warned. And also, our policy now says that we will be recording. Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Yeah, nothing really further to add. I think we've covered it off pretty well.
Thank you.
To Mr. Griffiths.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry?
No, well done to Council on this. It's a changing world, and transparency is becoming a bigger item in public utilities, and certainly Dimmock City Council is happy to play its role in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman to close. Thank you.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.7, disposal of public land at 93 to 95 Mary Street, East Devonport. We have a couple of options. Do I have a mover of...
You do, ma'am. Option one, thank you.
Thank you. Option one, Councillor Laycock. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Councillor Milbourne. Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a difficult one because we all, pardon me, we all know that we have an ageing population in Tasmania, and that the aged care facilities are a very important part of our community. When I checked the plan, I noticed that the land impinged on the Mary Binks wetland a lot further than I thought. And of course, the council have got in item B of option one, that council's prepared to further discuss potential options in the vicinity of the current aged care facility, which I think that's good because we do have land there, we do want to help, but I really think it'd be a terrible shame if we took land away from the Mary Binks wetland, because I think that's something that's been there for years. It's just recently been named the Mary Binks wetland, and then we start sort of chipping away at it, and I just don't think that's the thing to do. But I think we need to help Malaluka. We understand what they're going through, and that is the reason why I have moved option one, and I hope that I get some support around the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
I just concur with Councillor Laycock that it's important to listen to the public and to what the East Devonport residents have been saying, and think that we can look at some other land around the site there to try and come to a better outcome.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Perry?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I actually don't support option one. I actually support option two, because I think option two at least gives us the option to discuss this further with Melaleuca and take into account the objections, and they're well-learned objections and well-respected objections, but I think option one shuts the door for Melaleuca on that site, and I think we need to at least be able to go back and workshop it with the information in hand, and I think as part of that process we need to go over there as a collective and have a look at the actual land, the section of land that will be impinged upon if Melaleuca were to go ahead with construction in that area. So on that basis, I would prefer option two, so I can't support option one. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
It's
the one next to you.
Thank you. I'm a little bit torn about this. I really appreciate the fact that the people have protested and told us what their thoughts are about that area. I certainly believe that we've probably been a little bit hasty in looking at the Mary Banks wetlands section of that block. It's probably a little bit larger than I thought it was going to be, and certainly from reading all the different objections, I'm certainly on side that we need to be looking at perhaps another parcel of land that we might have closer. But I also believe that we gave Melaleuca the right to come and talk to us as a board, and I wouldn't mind to get them a little bit further involved. So I suppose I'm torn about what both options give us. One is to... option two is allowing us to discuss it further with Melaleuca. Certainly not saying that we're going to give that parcel of land away, but we're certainly getting them more involved. When option one seems to me that we'll still look at another option, but we're not getting Melaleuca involved. And so I suppose I'm steering further towards option two because of that reason. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. On the base of it, I agree with the previous two speakers. I think option two does provide us a little bit more scope in relation to deferring any decision, so it doesn't lock us into anything. Expanding the consultation process with all involved and all the concerned ratepayers that have raised their, have taken the time to raise their concerns. I think it is an issue that we are going to have to deal with going forward as a community, and I think to provide the opportunity to have a further conversation would be relevant at this time.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I've already spoken, but I just want to add one thing if I could, Madam Mayor.
You may.
I think it's really important we get over there and get some perspective on the land that could be used. I think that's the critical factor in this, and I think we as a collective owe it to all stakeholders to do that. So I just thought I'd like to reiterate that particular point. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock to close.
Thank you, Mayor. I understand and appreciate everyone's point of view, but Jackie, can we just go down to option one again? The door's not closed and we have the opportunity. If you read there, it's to notify Melaleuca, blah, blah, and comes down, it says, however, Council is prepared to further discuss potential other options in the vicinity of their current facility, which may assist with their expansion plans. Now, I don't know. I know I'm a bit slow at times and probably tonight with my cold, but to me that tells me we're going to go back and talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, that we can go back and talk to them about it and we can work through this situation. So the door's not closed at all. Because I know that everyone around this table would want to assist Melaleuca in some way, and it can be done. So thank you, Mayor, for the option of closing, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. That being said, I will put the motion. All those in favour of option one as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against?
Aye.
I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour, option one, please raise your hand. Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milbourn, Councillor Rockliffe, those against, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry, Councillor Alexio, Councillor Ennis and Councillor Jarman. The motion is lost. That being said, there may be the opportunity to put a second motion.
Can I put a point of order, please? Madam Mayor, I'm just wondering whether that we lay this on the table, because I believe in what the previous speaker said in the previous motion, perhaps we should have a site visit and go across and have a look. And that, I think, then it can come back to the table.
I'm happy to support that.
My view is if we put the alternative motion, that will say that.
If you're happy for me to move the motion, I would like to make that amendment.
Including a site
visit? Yeah, I think that's relevant. I think that's most important. As I've written here, that add to option two to include a workshop on site.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy, was there anything else you wanted to add?
I think we've had enough discussion.
Councillor Perry?
I concur with Councillor Murphy's comments. I just think this gives us a better way forward, and we won't make a decision without really getting a full perspective on what's going on over there and what could potentially go on. with the site visit and potentially a workshop immediately afterwards. So I support option two on that basis. Thank you.
Thank you. Just check that we have the motion as the mover and seconder are happy with. Happy with that? Any further comment? Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Item 6.1, workshops and briefing sessions held since the last council meeting. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, thank you.
Seconded.
Councillor Murphy. Councillor Perry.
Once again, you've done a terrific job for the month, Mayor. Functions.
This is the workshops briefing.
6.1.
Oh, is it?
6.1.
Sorry, yeah, well, nothing further on the workshops. it's a report and nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
It is only just a report, but it is worth noting that the workshop we did on the cruise ship presentation was one of great interest and really gave some interesting perspective. So, nothing further.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Perry, the
clerk. I do apologise, Mayor, to you and the gallery. The Brownlow Medal Count's about to start, so I just wanted to get through it a bit, and I'll consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Happy to take any compliments now, Councillor Perry. Oh.
So moved.
6.2.
So moved.
Second.
Councillor Ennis, thank you. Councillor Perry.
Well, I've probably said enough on item 6.2. It's been a pretty stressful month, and we know there's a lot going on in your life, so congratulations, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis.
Nothing further.
Any other comments, questions?
Yes, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock.
I'm just wondering, when the general public read, you attended the Premier's Local Government Committee meeting, which we know as the PLGC. Could you just quickly tell us who attends that meeting?
I'm one of two representatives of councillors on the coast that sit on a committee with Northern members and Hobart and the Lord Mayor. So there are seven people. Mm-hmm. And it's the committee that runs the Local Government Association. And twice a year that group gets to meet with the Premier, the Treasurer and members of their office as a collective to discuss items that affect all of us as state and local government. That was my first foray into that sphere, I guess, in that formal settings. It was certainly really interesting, and I look forward to being able to continue that conversation, and I guess bring the Northwest perspective to those conversations, which can sometimes be a little Hobart-centric.
Absolutely. Thank you for that explanation, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
I just think, seeing that you've mentioned the Devonport of Stedford in there, I'd like to congratulate every single person that either performed or volunteered to help behind the scenes, and as well as all the wonderful staff from council that participated and helped. I can't remember what year they're in. 81st, is it?
91st.
I apologise. The 91st year. So it's just wonderful to see it still continuing. Just wonderful to see all those wonderful kids and adults performing. And, just congratulations to everybody that it was involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's report. Thank you, Councillor Laycock. A seconder?
I'll second that.
Councillor Perry. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. As you can see in the minutes, the recommendation is that the report of the General Manager be received and noted. And with your indulgence, Mayor, I'd like to add a couple of words to that. And that is that Council express its confidence in the General Manager and the Executive Management Team. Thank you.
Yes, please. Are you happy with that as an addition, Councillor Herring?
Well, I certainly do personally, so of course I am. Of course.
Thank you. Did you have anything else to add, Councillor Lacombe?
No, it's all there in the report. As usual, our General Manager has been very busy keeping up with everything without the extra workload he gets. From our public question time, which needs to have a lot of due diligence done and following through for the next meeting. I just wanted that put on record because I feel it's very important at this time that the General Manager knows what we're thinking and it's in a more formal forum. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry is the seconder of the motion.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I just echo Councillor Laycock's comments. And I think we're very lucky to have him. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis. Is that neither? Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.4, unconfirmed minutes of the Cradle Coast Authority Reps meeting on the 22nd of August.
So moved.
Councillor Jarman, do I have a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Ennis. Councillor Jarman.
I'm just wondering, I have a question in relation to, obviously I was part of this meeting, and there's actually a mistake in it. I actually left the room for one of the discussions, the coastal pathway, because I have a conflict of interest, a pecuniary interest, you might say, seeing my brother's farm is along Lily Coast Strait. And it doesn't say that I left the room.
Okay. Look, I've also picked up a couple of other mistakes in the...
So we might...
We aren't endorsing. We're just accepting them, tabling them. Yeah, so they're unconfirmed minutes, so it's just a matter of record.
That's why I thought I'd just clarify that.
Thank you. They will need to be confirmed at the next Cradle Coast Authority Reps meeting.
All right.
So we have no, control over the content as such.
No.
But thank you for that, and certainly it will be worth noting before the next, before that meeting.
I have to remember in November.
Yes, that's
all right.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis?
Thank you for your honesty, Ms. Councillor Jarman, or Deputy Mayor.
You're welcome.
Any other comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.5 is a report on Devonport Jazz 2019. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Councillor Milbourn, thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Look, it's a good report, and the thing that struck me most was the ticket sales for this year's festival was almost three times budget, which is fantastic, and 3.5 times last year. So that's an incredible achievement in such a short period of time. And this week, or this festival, will continue to grow if we keep overheads contained, and the acts and the way it's put together remains relevant, because it really is something good that this city is proud of, and I can't see why, as the further stages of Living City come to fruition, that this won't get even better. So well done to everyone involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourn.
I'd just like to really thank the committee and the council involved in putting this festival together. It's great to see so many people out and about in the middle of winter, and it's a really good coup for Devonport, so thanks very much.
Thank you. Councillor Lacombe.
Just like to add my comments and thank and congratulate the staff. The amount of time that goes into this event is huge, and what can I say? It's not just, you know, we'll have someone here and someone there. It's the picking them up from the airport. It's making sure their equipment get there on time. It's making sure their accommodation's okay. Things that we don't think about as the general public. But the council staff have stuck by this event, and the councillors voting for it for many years. And it certainly is worth us keeping this on the map, because it's putting Devonport on the map for jazz. I've actually been in a couple of places interstate to their jazz, and if you mention it to them, oh yes, we've heard about that, or we've been down once and we'll come back again. So it's a great event, and as I said, congratulations to everyone all round. I know that staff will take that back to the events team that do pull it together. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd particularly like to acknowledge not only our staff but the group of volunteers who support them across the hours leading up to Jazz and all over that weekend. Everywhere you went, there were bright, cheerful faces that helped to welcome people. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do it because we don't have those resources. So I really want to acknowledge the Jazz Task Force and the work that they do. Councillor Perry to close.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Thank you for all the comments around the table. And yeah, I just reiterate, these events can lose their mojo fairly quickly if not handled properly. So congratulations to all involved, and let's long may it continue. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.0 is Section 23 Committee. 7.1 is the Planning and Authority Committee meeting held on the 9th of September.
So moved.
Councillor Jarman, do I have a seconder, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, thank you. Councillor Jarman.
It's all there. It's all been discussed and decided on already. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
An accurate reflection of that meeting, so nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.2 is the Governance and Finance Committee meeting of the 16th of September. Do I have a mover of those minutes, please?
You do.
Councillor Murphy, thank you. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Councillor Alexio. Councillor Murphy.
Again, very detailed report. Nothing really to add, just an administrative process.
Thank you. Councillor Alexio.
Yeah, there's a fair bit involved there, and it's all in the report there.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. That being said, I need a motion to move into closed session, please.
I'll move that motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor.
Happy to second that, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock. Any comments?
Nothing.
I'll close. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the public gallery.